Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Things are crazy busy here as the free agency period kicked off yesterday, and we've seen the Falcons make a couple of moves, mainly just re-signing their own, but certainly a lot going on around the NFL. Joining me as always, Daniel Cox.
Yes.
And on the phone right now, we are so lucky to be joined by senior NFL writer for FoxSports.com, Alex Marvez. He's one of our favorites here at AtlantaFalcons.com. Alex, how are you, sir?
Jay, doing great. Daniel, nice to meet you.
You as well.
Alex, I know things are crazy busy, so we really appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us. And let's start off with the big news from yesterday on our end of things was Tony Gonzalez announcing he was coming back. What are your thoughts on his return to the Falcons and what kind of impact it will have on the team?
I mean, so significant. I mean, first, if Tony doesn't come back and play, what do you do at tight end? I mean, there just really isn't anyone there, you know, in the background that was really, you know, and Thomas Dimitroff, look, he has so many things to handle on the roster, but there was no young tight end that was being groomed to go ahead and fill Tony Gonzalez's shoes. Not like that's an easy task anyway. And you look out in the free agent market, the cost of a Jared Cook to go to St. Louis, Martellus Bennett getting $5 million a year from the Chicago Bears, it would have probably been cost prohibitive for the Falcons to go into the free agent market and sign a real quality tight end who would be able to replace Tony. So, and I think just from a locker room leadership standpoint, this is someone who does all the right things on and off the field. He's an extremely intelligent guy. And much like the Baltimore Ravens last year, let's win one for Ray. You know what? This may become a rallying cry for the 2013 Falcons as the season unfolds. Let's win one for Tony because the Falcons were oh so close to making it to the Super Bowl last year.
You know, Alex, you mentioned replacing Tony in the event that he doesn't come back. Well, you know, we know that he's coming back now. But, you know, a lot of those mock drafts out there had the Falcons taking a tight end in the first round. And that's obviously before we knew what was going to happen with Tony. And that's probably going to change a little bit, you know, now that's changed. Do you still feel like there's maybe some merit to taking, you know, a young tight end, first, second round for the Falcons, and kind of planning for the future, considering where they're at right now? Or are they still in a position where they need to take guys that can step in day one and be starters right away?
Well, I think we really have to wait and see how this free agent signing period unfolds. And Thomas Dimitroff has said that the Falcons are going to concentrate on re-signing their own. And, you know, really, by and large, this has been done. We still don't know what's happening with Brent Grimes yet and if he is going to end up reaching agreement on a contract. If he does not, at least it is a buyer's market for cornerbacks. And there are a lot of veteran options out there available and veterans who can be gotten, in my opinion, at a pretty realistic price. So this is a good year to go ahead. And if you have to fill in for a corner, that's a way to go. But that's got to be something that the Falcons look at first. Then you look at the pass rush. There is nobody there who can rush the quarterback. This is such a premium at this position that I really feel like if the Falcons aren't able to do something in free agency, if there's no Cliff Avril type signing on the horizon, then you need to go ahead and figure out, okay, who is going to go ahead and rush the quarterback? I think that's got to be a major priority as well. Then you start looking at the tight end to groom down the road. I wouldn't mind if the Falcons went ahead and took a little bit of a project-type player, maybe in rounds 4 and 5, someone who is a really good athlete who is still maybe learning to play the position or has to get developed but really has some upside there. An example of that would have been James Casey a few years ago when he came out of Rice University, drafted by the Houston Texans in the 5th round. You know, he was a jack-of-all-trades player at Rice, you know, did a lot of different positions, but when he was able to concentrate on being an H-back in Houston, he really did a great job and got a nice free agent contract from the Eagles. So I think in a perfect world, that would be maybe the type of thing the Falcons do. Mid-round pick for a tight end. I just think, though, there's some pressing priorities right now that they need to address that are going to come before that. Oh, and by the way, who's going to run the football for the Falcons? That's something else that may need to get addressed early in the draft.
Yeah, certainly a lot to think about. And you mentioned, you know, the different approaches that teams take. You know, Cleveland, for instance, is taking guys who, you know, are coming off their first contracts, while the Falcons are concentrating on signing their own to second contracts. Which method do you see having the most merit in today's NFL?
Oh, the way the Falcons are doing it, by and large, with Thomas Dimitroff. Because, look, the reality is that you know the strengths and weaknesses of your own players. You know how they respond to coaching. You know how these guys in the locker room are. You keep cohesion. You know, and sometimes you go ahead and you sign a player to a big money contract and you bring them in, and other guys say, wait a minute, what about me? Where's my money? And you can go ahead and really get some derision going like that. So I just think it's smart like that. When you know, part of the problem the teams like the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins, the reason they have to go into free agency is that their drafts have been poor. and you need they need to go ahead and fill in so many holes because of poor personnel decisions that you overspend in free agency. I mean, Mike Wallace is a nice player, but is he worth $30 million guaranteed on a contract? I mean, the way Thomas did it was, hey, I'm not going to pay that in free agency. I'm going to move up, get Julio Jones. Yes, it's going to cost me draft picks, but you know what? I'm going to have a great player that's going to be around on his rookie contract under a rookie salary cap and be here for years to come. And if he's all that in a bag of donuts like we think he is, then we'll worry about re-signing him later, and we still have the ability to name him a franchise player. So I really believe that, that's the best approach, but you have to draft well. And if you don't, then you're stuck dipping into the free agent market more heavily than what the Falcons have done.
You know, a couple of those guys that the Falcons have drafted, and they are, you know, they're going through that re-signing experience now. Sam Baker, William Moore. Baker was signed late last night. William Moore a few days ago. What are your thoughts on on those guys? And, you know, they're still young guys, and how they can kind of impact the Falcons moving forward.
Well, I mean, first I'll start with William Moore, and I'm so excited for the Falcons that he returned. And not just because William Moore is a heavy-hitting player who has some pretty good ball instincts. I mean, I really thought he was able to sniff out interceptions a lot better in 2012 than at any point in his career. But there was something to be said for having your two safeties on the same page for an extended period of time. And Thomas DeCoux and William Moore have that chemistry. These guys like each other. So I think it's just really exciting for the Falcons to have them back. And what can you say about Sam Baker? This was a guy who got kicked a lot in 2011, was demoted from the starting lineup, really was struggling on a lot of levels, has had some injury history, but rebounded in 2012 under a new offensive line coach in Pat Hill. You look at the market out there, and I don't have the numbers for that what Sam Baker signed yet, but I imagine it's going to be in the vicinity of Will Beatty, Jermon Bushrod type of money, which means you're not a top-tier left tackle, but you're pretty darn good. You can get the job done. That is what Sam Baker is, and it also keeps the Falcons from having to dip into free agency again to get a replacement. You know how Sam practices. You know his medical history. You know his strengths and his weaknesses that you can help camouflage on your O-line. That's the strength of re-signing your own players.
Yeah, Alex, it's still really early in free agency. I know fans certainly like to go nuts and find out what's going on, but around the NFC South, relatively quiet, you know, we know Tampa is in position to make some moves, could potentially make some moves here in the next couple of days. Will you see somebody giving the Falcons a run for their money next season based off of the free agency period in the NFC South?
Well, I mean, I just think, look, New Orleans is automatically going to be a contender because Sean Payton's back. I mean, that guy, I think, is so focused and so intent on getting the Saints back to prominence that I really look at them as a playoff team and a dangerous team, even though they're having some salary cap issues, and I'm not totally sold on the switch over to a 3-4 defense, but I just think they're going to be rolling up the points once again in New Orleans. You know, Carolina, I'm sort of torn on. They're having real salary cap problems. If all these high-priced players lived up to their salaries, they would be trouble, and they did play better football in December. What I just don't know is how big a step is Cam Newton going to take in 2013, especially without really augmenting the wide receiver position. We got to see what they do there. They have some major holes on defense as well, in the secondary as well as at the defensive tackle position. So they've got their work cut out for them. Tampa Bay is really the wild card. Who are the Bucs? I mean, hey, through the first 10 weeks of last season, this was a team looking like it could contend for the playoffs. Josh Freeman playing the best football of his career. Then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out, and this was a very bad team in the month of December. Now, did they get tired because Greg Schiano drove him into the ground with his practice habits? Is it also something that Greg is going to correct if that is the case, or is he going to be stubborn like some coaches from the college ranks are? Where is Josh Freeman at in his NFL career? Can the secondary get any better? They're talking with Deshaun Goldson. Maybe he will sign by the end of the day. Maybe he will be their new safety to team up with Mark Barron. That is an impressive secondary. Looks like they will make a move to get a corner, probably add a pass rush specialist as well at some point along the way, and then get both their starting guards back, two Pro Bowl players in Carl Nix and Davin Joseph, to go lead the way for Doug Martin in this offense. So I think the Bucs can be dangerous as well. If I have to rank them, I've got Atlanta 1, New Orleans 2, Tampa Bay 3, Carolina 4.
You know, back to the Falcons, you know, this is the second offseason in a row that the front office has lost a guy that's gone on to be a GM with the team, with another team. Les Snead from last year, and then David Caldwell down with Jacksonville this year. Do you feel like, and this is just from a front office perspective, do you feel like Atlanta is one of those franchises where, you know, some other franchises are going to start picking some guys off? Maybe they're like an up-and-coming franchise from a front office scouting perspective. You feel like Do you feel like that's a fair thing to say about the Falcons right now?
Well, I do, because Thomas Dimitroff is such an innovative general manager. He thinks outside the box, unlike some of his peers. You know, if there comes to new technology that's going to make the Falcons better, he's all over it. He listens. He's not myopic in his thinking. I mean, he does respect the old school ways because his dad was a football legend who everyone knows, but he also is smart enough to realize, hey, let's look and see if there's ways of doing things differently. For example, the heart monitors that Atlanta Falcons players wore in practice to figure out, okay, are we getting maximum effort from them? Do they need to rest? Things like this I just think are so important, and they're things that Thomas Dimitroff thinks of. And even, too, think about what Kevin Winston, the player personnel director, or the player director of services, so to speak, did for the Falcons, coming up with a job fair for former players to try to help those guys who are a little bit down get back on their feet, get some life skills to be able to adjust to life after football. These are things that under Thomas's watch, I feel that the Falcons have been great. Mike Smith, obviously an incredible head coach, the least penalized team in football last year. He's in lockstep with Thomas, and he's obviously on board with everything going on. So sure, you want to pick people's brains. You see Les Snead now in St. Louis. You see David Caldwell in Jacksonville. Maybe Chris Polian gets another shot at being a general manager somewhere. Lionel Vidal is a well-respected a personnel assistant across the NFL. He may be the next guy to get a general manager's job. So someday we talk about the Bill Belichick tree from which Thomas Dimitroff came. Someday we may be talking about the Thomas Dimitroff tree where a bunch of executives come from.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for joining us, man. I know this is a crazy time of year for you, and I hope they're at least letting you get some sleep over there.
No sleep. They actually cattle prod every 4 hours just to stay awake. But you know what? It is the time of year. It is exciting. And again, congratulations to the Falcons because they're doing it right, and a really good team is staying intact. And that takes a lot of props to Thomas Dimitroff and company for doing that.
Well, thanks a lot, Alex. We're so grateful that you joined us today. And fans, make sure you check out his stuff on foxsports.com. Thanks, Alex.
No problem.
Alex Marvez, Daniel, how about that, man?
Alex is one of the coolest guys around.
Yeah, love having him lend his perspective whenever we're lucky enough to have him around, and we've had him on the site several times.
Absolutely. He's either really smart or he did some studying on the Falcons. Cause
I'd say a lot of both.
Yeah. He did a nice job. He had some great things to say as well. It's always nice to hear, you know, national guys, and I think the fans would appreciate that, the national perspective, so to speak. And,
absolutely.
He certainly brings that.
Absolutely. So let's get on to some of our now mainstays here at the podcast. And I apologize, I'm a little under the weather this week. So if I sound bad, that's because I feel bad. So
yeah, I mean, one comes with the other. Sometimes.
It absolutely does. So let's get on to our Falcons Flash here, where we share a story from the internet, the most interesting thing that we saw. And, Daniel, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, you know, some guy named Tony decided to come back to play for the Falcons for another season.
He
announced
that
yesterday. Yeah. Potential Hall of Famer. Anyway.
He's got a shot.
Yeah.
He's got a shot at it.
You know, we put together some things on the on our website yesterday for in honor of Tony, and him coming back, and there's a bunch of stats, and at this point we can talk about stats with Tony Gonzalez too. We're blue in the face, and you may hear something you've never heard before, or you may hear something that you've heard numerous times before. So I'm gonna leave some of those stats on the table. You can read them in our stories, but I did want to throw out a couple of things that Jay, you and I came across in some of our off the beaten path studying that we've done on Tony. Career yardage 14,268. We know that. That's typical Falcons statistical stuff. That equals 8.1 miles. So
yes.
He's ran just over 8 miles in yardage in his career.
Yes.
Yards caught.
Which is about the distance as the crow flies from the Georgia Dome to, like, if you're familiar with Atlanta, mm-hmm. if you're driving from the Georgia Dome or actually flying
right
from the Georgia Dome to, like, the Buckhead Theater, somewhere around there. That's
quite a distance.
Isn't it?
Yeah, totally. When he started his career in 1997, I thought this was interesting. The average tank of gas was $1.22.
Just those days.
Yeah. This speaks...
this sums up Tony Gonzalez's career right here. 262 games played. You know, his rookie season, he was not a starter. You know, spelled some guys. You know, came in situationally. He started every game since then. 243 games started. He's only missed two games in his career. That blows me away.
It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. He has 23 career tackles.
I mean, to play this long and to only miss,
I know,
you know, two games is just absolutely astounding.
It is. It is. It's absolutely crazy. Astounding. He's been a part of 140 career wins. He does have 23 career tackles. Six career fumbles in all those yards he's ran, all those miles. And only two of them were lost.
Yeah. And what was the last one? The last one was like...
Oh, man, I'd have to look it up.
Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean to put
no,
you on
it's
the
cool.
There.
I know it's been a season or two because I...
It's been
I
longer than that.
I think it happened...
It's been years and years and years.
Seems like it happened...
I want to...
when he has been a Falcons when it happened, I believe.
I want to say it was like his first year.
It just seems like... I remember sitting inside the Georgia Dome one time and it was like, Tony Gonzalez just fumbled it. But you know what? We were wrong. Both of us are wrong. 2006 was his last fumble. And it was one of them that season.
Long, long time.
Yeah. One of them. Yeah. Otherwise, early in his career, he had some struggles with it. His second season, he had three. His third season, he had two. And then he's had that one since in 2006. that's pretty impressive. And again, only two of those were lost. And this just blows my mind. Every time I read it, and I shared it with a number of people, and I shared it on Twitter yesterday, just 17,881,000 people have sat inside a stadium and watched Tony Gonzalez play football over the course of his career. 17 million people.
That's a lucky 17 million people.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm one of them.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
You know, that brings me to a point is, you know, you know that like he's coming back and this is it. Like there's no
yeah.
I'm 95% sure.
And that's the thing that is heartbreaking the most, I think, is we're going to go through this again whenever our season ends next season.
Right.
Whether it's with the Super Bowl champions or not, it's still going to be, oh man, it's heartbreaking to see Tony leave.
Yeah. But this time you're not going to have the distraction of, oh, are you thinking about coming back?
Yeah.
Because, and look, he hasn't spoken to the media since making the announcement or anything like that. So he hasn't come out and said, oh, 100%, I'm definitely,
yeah,
you know. But you got it. Look, it's one more time. I mean, he's not,
yeah.
I cannot see him coming back for a year after that or a year after that or a year after that.
Yeah.
You have to go, like, if you're a fan, okay, and you've never, you've put off, you know, getting a ticket to see him live or, you know, you've... Do what you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get into a stadium to see this guy play live. Because it's going to be the last time you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. I've always done that. I saw Barry Bonds.
Did you?
You know, obviously, you know, Chipper and all those guys, we get to see them a lot with the Falcons. Or, the Braves being in town. But, yeah, Barry Bonds came his last season. You know, say what you want about the record and all that crap. But, you know, I went to go see him. So, and the great thing about Tony is, if there's ever going to be a guy that you're pretty sure is going to be on the field, it'll be him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to play 90-some percent of the snaps. But, you know, you seriously, you've got to go out of your way. And look, if whatever ends up with going on with training camp and him, you know, however much he's here or whatever, I guess that, you know, that'll be decided at some point. Get out to training camp and see him up close if he's here. You know, like, this is the year like, you need to go out of your way and see him because there's never going to be another one like him.
Nope.
Ever.
Yeah. He's, one of a kind, for sure.
I mean, take advantage of it because, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
After this, I mean.
And the response from, like, on just following along on Twitter yesterday, the response was fantastic. I know he saw a lot of those tweets that were directed at him, and I'm sure he feels, honored to be held in that regard among Falcons fans.
Absolutely, and, you know, obviously he's said that's one of the big reasons he came back. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, my most interesting thing we'll get on to here, and again, I'm sorry for my clogged head.
It's all right.
Sound right now, but... Roddy White taking some time this week and doing some good stuff. And he's currently, as we speak, in Africa with Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, who just recently got traded while he was actually in Africa. And he's now with the 49ers. But Roddy White there with the other two NFL star wide receivers to help those in Africa improve access to livelihoods, increase income, ensure food security. I heard a radio interview that Roddy did with Freddie Coleman on ESPN, and Roddy expects this trip to be completely life-changing, and
oh, wow.
It sounds like it absolutely will be. If you're not following him on Twitter, do that, Roddy White TV. He's sent some pics along, and a lot of good stuff that he's doing down there, but he was so excited to join Fitzgerald and Boldin, who both went last year, and Roddy was the addition this year, and so those three guys there are taking some time out this year to do some good stuff, and so once Roddy gets back, I'm hoping to catch up with him and talk to him about his trip and kind of give fans a little bit of a insight into how it changed his life, but really looking forward to that. But certainly, you know, another occasion where you're thankful for the guys who represent your organization.
Yeah,
this
absolutely. And I'm sure Roddy's having a great time over there, just in the people he's interacting with. It's
I can't imagine there's any shortage of smiles there
among
people who need them. So
Roddy's good for a couple of laughs every day as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely keep your eye on that. Okay. We're going to wrap things up, and we're going to talk about our experiences last week.
Yeah, we had some different things we did last week.
A couple?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I was in Austin, Texas. You were here in Atlanta doing... such a cool event.
Yeah, it wasn't life changing, but it had an effect on me.
Sure,
it changed the way I saw some things. You know, and it was fantastic to hear Alex mention it as well.
Yes,
the career symposium that the Falcons held last week, first of its kind for a franchise to hold an open career fair, basically. It's not just, you know, interviews and everything, but it was a day of education. It was a two-day event. The first day, obviously, it was a day of education and, you know, dumping some knowledge on these guys. First time that's happened where a franchise has just done that, made that available, essentially. And it wasn't just available to the Falcons, former Falcons players, or in the current ones as well, but it was available to every guy in the league, from the way I understand it, because there were folks from all around the league there. You know, and we always talk about that vacuum that we live in where it's just Falcons.
Yeah.
And this was kind of a step away from that because, you know, like I said, there were so many guys from around the league. And these are guys, you know, names you've heard of, some you know, bona fide big names in the league. And so it was interesting to be around a different group of guys in that regard. But I just appreciated the fact that, in some ways, a lot of these guys were there, not admitting any kind of failures or anything like that. They acknowledged that my career in the NFL was what it was, and maybe it was a short run. You know, there were guys there that had you know practice season for one season in the league. Two guys that, you know, have had 14-year careers in there. I appreciated that. They were just there with open minds, and talking to some of them, and I had an opportunity to talk to a number of them. And again, you know, Alex mentioned Kevin Winston, who is kind of like the right-hand man for many of the Falcons players around here in this facility inside this building. He kind of introduced me to a lot of guys and had them sharing their stories with me, and it was cool to hear these guys who've played in front of millions and millions of people to sound excited about something that didn't have anything to do with football. Like, and I shared one of the stories on one of the posts that we did last week. You know, a guy was so evident, so clear, just talking to him how thrilled he was to have the opportunity to go back home and discuss with his wife and his family something other than football that was a career-related event. And it was a way that his family could interact with his career a little bit more. And it was just really nice to see, you know, these guys whose careers for so many of them were suddenly just ended just like that. And so often they didn't have a say in that necessarily. They were just cut or let go or whatever. And, helping them see that a lot of the skills that helped them get to where they were in football are things that can translate to the professional world as well. I don't think a lot of guys really thought about that before they were there, and it was nice to see that eye-opening experience for them. So it was like a transformation almost, and just kind of being around those guys and kind of witnessing all of that was definitely something different than I've done inside the league. And, you know, we've done a lot of events, but this was a little bit different. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it sounded absolutely awesome. And, all that coverage is still on AtlantaFalcons.com. So if you missed any of it, definitely go check it out.
Absolutely.
I was in Austin, Texas, and I was meeting with my 31 other colleagues who from around the league. Is
also known as enemies.
No. It's the NFL's annual digital media summit.
Mm-hmm.
And all 32 teams get together, and we meet in Austin, Texas, which is where South by Southwest is going on. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to stay for that, but we met a few days before it started and listened to a lot of speakers and discuss ideas. And it was a really great opportunity just to get to talk to some of the people who do what you do every day, just in a different capacity.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience. I got a ton of great ideas for AtlantaFalcons.com, and we'll be rolling those out here pretty soon. But it was great. But my first day there, I'm sitting at my table with Alex Restrepo from the New Orleans Saints.
Oh yes,
from Saints.com. So Alex is a great guy.
Yeah.
So I know how it is. I know how it is, but. We were very civil. We were able to get along.
As is often the case, right?
Yes.
Same with the players.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, just that I've got some ideas and different things that'll come to the site. Maybe give fans a little bit more of an interactive role.
Excellent.
And so we'll see what the next year holds, but I'm excited.
Very cool. I am too now.
Good. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it. It's kind of tough for us to try and top what Alex did at the top of the show.
Yeah,
but
he kind of just stole it all away from us.
That's fine.
That's okay. That's what we do around here.
That's exactly.
We shine the spotlight on others.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, thanks again for joining us here on the Falcon Cast. Make sure to join us next week. I'm sure between now and then it could be crazy.
Yes.
Who knows?
Something could happen or nothing.
Or nothing could happen.
Yes.
That's the great thing about free agency is we just don't know.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it either way.
And we don't know because they lock us out of the scouts meeting room.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, and we'll break it all down next week on another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Thanks again for joining us. We will talk to you next week.